morning. Well, good morning. Welcome to Outlook. It's so good to be together this morning. If we've not met before, my name is Liam and I'm the youth pastor here. And like Warwick mentioned, Pastor Nick, our senior pastor, and his family are away today having well-deserved rest and rejuvenation with extended family. It's my honor to bring the word to us this morning. A show of hands, who has finished their Christmas shopping? Anyone? Oh, okay, we're on top of it. I actually have no idea if we've done ours yet, so that's where I'm at. Good times. Thank you, Phoebe, for Christmas shopping. Grand Central this time of year is not a vibe. Phoebe loves it. I don't like it, but parking is not my friend. Anyway, this morning we're continuing in our preaching-focused perspectives of Christmas. This Christmas series that we're looking at this year, it's really about our formation as disciples and followers of Jesus and what Christmas really has to do with that. And so I feel like sometimes in church we can sometimes do Christmas series and simply retell historical events that happened about the birth of Jesus. And while that's good, I think we can sometimes miss out on what God actually wants to do in and through us at Christmas time. It's actually such a formational time for us as followers of Jesus. And so we're really focusing on how different perspectives of the Christmas story can shape and form us as followers of Jesus. And last week, Pastor Nick, he kicked it off by looking at Mary and Joseph and their obedience in response to God's call upon their lives. And he posed a reflection for us at the end of his message. He sort of said, like, what has God called us to carry in this season to see restoration and hope wherever we go? That was his challenge and his reflection to us last week. So what has God called us to carry in this season to see restoration and bring hope wherever we go? And so if you missed last week, I'd really recommend you check it out on our podcast or YouTube. But this morning we're looking at another perspective in the Christmas story. Except this perspective, it actually occurred 700 years before the birth of Jesus took place. And so we're looking at the perspective of the prophet Isaiah. And so our main text this morning is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. And so if you've got your Bibles there, flick to it. But I'm just going to pray and then we'll get into it. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for your word. We just thank you that we can know you through your word and that we can know who you are and your plans for our lives. And so we just pray that you'd give us sensitive ears and sensitive hearts to receive what you'd have to say to us this morning. We know that Christmas can just be a really busy time. So we just want to set aside all distractions to focus on you this morning. Reveal more of yourself to us and form us in response. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Also, a disclaimer, this message is probably going to be a little bit shorter, but there's a ton of reflection at the end, so that's why I've left a little bit of space. And I've got a confession to make. Historically, I've been a little bit of a Grinch at Christmas time. Christmas is not my favourite season of the year, like a bit of a travesty really for a lot of people. And there's a few reasons for that, but overall, I find the over-commercialization of Christmas like a little bit naff. It's a little bit hyped up, but I'm like, okay, what's the big deal? And like every year, it seems like the same stuff, right? Every year, it's the same stuff. A lot of hype, a lot of over-commercialization. The Christmas freaks in the room are like hating me right now. So in my cynicism, I've sort of previously just chucked Christmas out. I'm like, whatever, a write-off, chuck the whole thing out. And I think I find the repetition of Christmas a little bit frustrating, right? And so this morning, we're looking at Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. And if you've been following Jesus for a long time, you would have heard these verses over and over again. And I think sometimes you can do what I do and just chuck the whole thing out. So my encouragement this morning is don't do what I do. Actually look at these verses and have a new and a fresh appreciation for them, because they're actually quite beautiful. And so I want us to just lean in this morning and hear what God has to say to us through it. And so we're going to read it together. So Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For a child is given to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. And so just for some context, the original audience and the original readers of these verses were the people of Israel. And these set of verses, they're a prophecy. So they're foretelling future events. And these verses, which we now know are about Jesus, they were prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before Jesus came to earth. And so obviously these verses come after Isaiah chapter 8. And in that chapter, it sort of portrays the consequences of rejecting God's guidance, which God's people had done, which the people of Israel had done. And as a result, they were going to experience judgment through the nation of Assyria. And this happened to Israel, you know, God's people, because they failed to trust in God's word. Yet Isaiah 8, it also points to the ultimate hope that we have in God, even in the midst of judgment, right? And then we find ourselves in Isaiah 9, which begins with a prophecy about a future when darkness will actually be lifted from Israel. And the nation, it'll be free, prosperous, and at permanent peace. And this will all happen because God will send a child who will become a king on David's throne. And more than a man, this king will be mighty God and Prince of Peace and will rule forever. And this man that Isaiah pictures here and talks about is truly unusual and quite remarkable, right? Like, he's undeniably human because he's born as a child, and he'll certainly be king because the government will rest on his shoulders. And, you know, it's not out of the ordinary at this time in history when lavish titles were given to kings. That's quite normal for this time in history. But the titles that this child is given, like, they escalate quite quickly. It goes from 0 to 100 real quick. And so the titles start with, like, the level of a crown prince or a specially appointed agent of God. But then all of a sudden, Isaiah says that this king will be God. Like, it escalates quite quickly. You know, I think Isaiah leaves no room for this question that this child who will be born will be God himself. You know, Isaiah writes that this deliverer will be called Wonderful Counselor, describing the kingly wisdom of a monarch. Isaiah tells us that this child, this king, will be a leader who will make the best decisions in every scenario and will give unfailing counsel to his subjects. And, like, maybe that title you could give to a particularly good or special king. But this next title cannot be ascribed to any other king. This child will be called Mighty God. You know, some scholars have tried to reduce this language here to just be great hero. But I think Isaiah is telling us that this man, this child, will be divine in and of himself. You know, he's describing the Messiah who will ultimately be revealed to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This King, King Jesus, will be called Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. You know, while many kings have been referred to as the father of their people, this king's fatherhood will not end. He will continue as father to one generation after another and to all generations of his people for all eternity past. You know, in short, this child is God. This child is God. This king's reign over Israel and the earth will not be an endlessly bloody one where he rules with an iron fist. No, this king, this divine king, will be so powerful that he will create everlasting peace and put an end to all war. This king, he will be rightly given the title Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the fulfillment of this prophecy. And I think Isaiah offers us a unique perspective here on Christmas. You know, he offers a perspective that is attitude-shifting and hope-giving for us this Christmas. You know, Isaiah's perspective about this child, about Jesus, is not one of just a little baby, but more of a powerful king who will rule and reign and who will set all things right. Isaiah tells us that because of Christmas, the full reign and rule of God is coming, and the kingdom of God is at hand, and this kingdom will set all things right. You know, I believe that from this, God has two applications for us this Christmas. And so I think he's asking us to rest in his reign, to bring restoration at a societal level. And he's asking us to rest in his reign, to bring restoration at a personal level as well. And so God is telling us this morning, through the perspective of Isaiah, that because of Christmas, all things from a systemic and societal level will one day be made right. The birth of Jesus, the incarnation of God in flesh, started the coming of the kingdom of God to earth, which one day, as Isaiah reminds us, will be realized in full. The birth of Jesus started kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The birth of Jesus reminds us this morning that the brokenness that is inherent to this world will one day be made right. My wife Phoebe is a teacher, my dad's a teacher, my brother's a teacher, and my mom works in admin at a school, at a local high school, and so all in the state system. And so when we have family dinner times, often we will talk about teaching because that's like most of the people in the room's occupation. And we will talk about the complexities of the education system and how broken the system seems to be. And then the conversation will often turn to the families and the children and the behavior that the teachers have to deal with and handle with, and how broken these children seem to be in the education system. And we talk about why these kids are the way they are. And then we often land at, well, that's because their parents have experienced trauma when they were growing up. And then we end up talking about generational trauma and generational cycles of abuse. You know, this whole system just seems so broken. The education system seems broken, and the kids that are in the system seem so broken as well. You know, it just seems all so unfixable, right? But I think the perspective of Isaiah on Christmas tells us that there is a king who will put an end to all systemic brokenness, and he will redeem all things. You know, the perspective of Isaiah tells us that there is a king who will one day make all things right in our world that seems hopelessly broken. The perspective of Isaiah tells us that there is a king and a kingdom coming and a government that is coming that will have peace that will never end. You know, and so I think we need to be reminded this morning that Jesus is a king who is truly good, and he'll never become corrupt like so many of our earthly leaders. You know, this year there's been lots of governmental change at a global level with the US elections, and like even at a state level with our state elections. And so I think in the midst of so much change on a global level, you know, even with the US elections, and whether you are happy with the outcome or not, I think we need to be reminded that there is a greater leader. There is a greater king who is bringing with him a kingdom and a government that will bring restoration, redemption, and peace. And he came in a manger. He came as a baby. But I think this promise of restoration, it doesn't only apply to us at a societal or systemic level, but also at a personal one. The perspective of Isaiah on Christmas serves as a reminder to us that Jesus is here and he rules in your situation. Jesus promises to make all situations right. You know, Jesus rules in your situation and he has the ultimate and the final say. Jesus has the final say in your relationships. He has the final say in your financial situation. He has the final say in your financial situation, in your workplace. You know, whatever circumstance that you face, Jesus has the final say. The thing that is worrying you or taking away your attention, Jesus has the final say. And this rule and this reign of Jesus, it started at Christmas time. It started when God became flesh and chose to be close to our mess and close to the chaos of this world. You know, he promises that his government, his rule, and his reign will wipe away every tear. And I'm reminded of these verses in Revelation 21. It says this, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. all these things are gone forever. You know, I believe God is asking us this morning to lay down control of all the things that are worrying us. You know, maybe at a systemic or societal level, you're plagued. You're plagued with the brokenness of the world that is so evident. Maybe you're so plagued with concern and over-worry about a nation. Maybe you're stressed out about politics or the world and the injustice that just surrounds us so evidently. You know, and it's actually good to be proactive and have concern. I think being overly concerned can lead to this sense of overwhelm. But I think Jesus is reminding us this morning that we aren't the ones in control. We aren't the ones in control. And so the invitation this morning is to lay it down at the manger. Or maybe you're trying to manipulate a personal situation to go your way. Maybe you've got a really hard personal situation that's causing you angst and stress, and nothing that you can see to do. The invitation this morning is to lay it down at the manger. That's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to invite Phoebe, Michelle, and Jeanette to hand out a sticky note and a pen to all of us. And so what I want us to do this morning is write down something that is plaguing you, something that you believe the Lord is asking you to lay down at the manger, to be reminded of that He rules and He reigns and that we don't. And so I'd invite you to write something down and then come up whenever you're ready and place it. Lay it down at the manger. And then once you've done that, I'd invite you to take communion. Grab a communion, take it back to your seat, and take it whenever you feel led. Because Isaiah's perspective on Christmas reminds us that Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns victorious, and that through faith in what He has done on the cross, we too are victorious. And there's a verse from 1 Corinthians that'll come up on the screen. And I want you to read that and meditate on that. Because we are reminded this morning that Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns. And so spend some time doing that now, and then I'll pray to finish us off.
So God, we just thank you that you reign. We thank you that you rule and you reign over every situation. You see all things and you know all things. God, we just thank you that we can trust you, that you're a good God, that we can lay the things down that are bothering us, that are afflicting us, God, that we don't have to have control of those things. So we just lay them over to you. We lay them at your feet. Just remind us this Christmas, God, that you reign, that you're in control. We just honor you, King Jesus. And we just thank you that you came to earth as a baby to live the life that we couldn't live. And yet you died the death that we deserved. And we just thank you that you're coming again one day to set all things right. Oh, we just honor you and we honor your presence. Just remind us of these things this Christmas. Help us to rest in you. Help us to rest in you afresh. We just lay all these things down before you now, King Jesus. In your name.